This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 21st, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item, we're skipping item number 5, is proposed Directive 74 on the timely resolution of enforcement matters, agenda document number 15-25A. It's a memorandum from Commissioner Weintraub. And also agenda document number 15-25B.
Parliamentary inquiry. Are we going to skip over that item altogether today?
No. Oh,
okay. We're coming back to it.
It's okay. Just next in order. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is the day for various commissioners to be lobbying some longstanding issues that they've been wanting for us to be lobbing it onto the agenda to see if we can actually move forward on it. I think that the issue of timely resolution of enforcement matters is really important. I think we really do a disservice to everyone involved in the process, the complainant, the respondent, the public, when we sit on cases so long that they are really stale by the time they get on the public record and nobody can remember the facts, and we're, you know, two election cycles past the one where the events happened, and we just... I find that deadlines are really helpful, and I think that we all find deadlines to be really helpful, and I was talking to the Vice Chairman about this yesterday, and we were noting how the day before a meeting where we're supposed to discuss something, all of a sudden there's a whole lot of activity because people feel that sense of deadline. The staff have deadlines on how long they can take to prepare their analysis of the complaints and the other matters that they want to make, they need to make recommendations to us on. And actually, for most complaints that come in the door, once the complaint comes in the door and the response comes in the door and it hits an attorney's desk, they have typically 90 days to get us an analysis of that complaint and response and make a recommendation to us. And then it lands on our desk. That deadline was one that the commission added a number of years ago because we thought it would be useful to the staff, and it has been. And every quarter, they need to report to us on how they're doing on meeting their targets. We just recently got a report in the last few days, and they're actually doing a darn good job of meeting their targets, of getting the reports to us on a timely basis. And then it's our turn. And we need to make decisions. And sometimes that involves going back to the same exercise that the staff go through. But we give them 90 days to do it in most instances. You know, I see why 90 days isn't enough for us. I think that if we had these kinds of deadlines, it would help us with the matters that languish here. And as I said, when a complainant files a complaint, they want to know what happened to it, what's the resolution. And it's unfair to respondents to have these things hanging over their heads. You know, often we have committees that want to terminate. They want to go out of business, and they can't do that because there's still some matter hanging over their head here that we haven't resolved. I had suggested a couple of years ago a policy limiting the number of holds that commissioners could have, and there was a lot of resistance to that, so I pulled back from that, and this is another attempt on my part to try and impose a little bit of discipline on the process, a little discipline on us, so that we would make a commitment. It's not very complicated. It would involve, if there are objections, it would hit an agenda within 3 months. The matter would hit an agenda within 3 months, and then we would have to have a substantive vote on the recommendation within 3 months of that. So the commissioners would get 6 months to make up their mind. I'll just throw in another historical note. Back when I started, most ballots were circulated on a 72-hour tally, and commissioners would get those documents and immediately start working on it, and edits would be circulated within days, sometimes within hours. Former Commissioner Mason was famous in the building for the rapidity with which he could analyze any set of documents and get feedback back to the staff and to his colleagues on what it would take to resolve the matter from his perspective. We don't do 72-hour tallies anymore. In 2008, we expanded that so that commissioners would have more time to consider matters. But what has happened procedurally is that, whereas before a lot of matters just passed on tally or were resolved pretty quickly after the tally, now pretty much everything ends up on the agenda. Everything gets objected to, everything ends up on the agenda. And as I said, some matters get held repeatedly on the agenda and languish. And I think that's, as I said, it's not good for the public. It's not good for, it creates confusion amongst the political class because they know something happened often and they know that a complaint was filed and then they don't know what happened to the complaint. So it creates confusion amongst the people who are trying to abide by the law as to where the rules are because they don't know whether what somebody else did complied with the law or not because we haven't come out with a decision. So I really think it would be better for all of us and better for, as I said, everyone who deals with us if we try to impose some discipline on ourselves. I'm not wedded to any particular approach to this, but I think we have to take some action. This doesn't address how we vote. It just is an attempt to make sure that we vote and that we vote on a timely basis and make decisions, whatever they are, you know, whatever those decisions are, just let's get the work done. So that's my pitch.
Are there any comments from Vice Chair Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've had a chance to talk to my colleague, Commissioner Weintraub, a few times about this, and I certainly appreciate the what's motivating her to present this before the commission, and I think that today's turning out to be, I think, a helpful day for us to tee up some of these issues where I think that we can now maybe revive discussions and debates that maybe have long dormant for a while, and maybe we can move forward on some of them. I share, and I think everyone here too shares the same sentiment that that it is important for us to move matters through efficiently, to resolve things as quickly as we can, while also having the necessary time to analyze the underlying issues. Some of them can be rather complex and novel, and don't yield to easy decisions, but I certainly agree that I think that we all need to be committed to move matters through as quickly as possible. In terms of the proposal here, I'm still kind of chewing on it to determine whether or not would the time frames be adequate in this case? Would there need to be some more discretion built in at certain when certain circumstances arise? I mean, some of the things that come to mind are occasionally a number of MERS involving different respondents might have a common issue that might lead to easier resolution if we bunch those all together. I remember when we first got here. Well, I should say when Commissioner Hunter and I and Commissioner McGann, former Commissioner McGann, in 2008 when we had, after the six-month dark period here at the agency, when we had stacks and stacks of enforcement matters that we had to handle, that we took a kind of an issue-based approach. We would take, you know, reattribution and redesignation cases and political committee cases and so forth. And so That's one issue I'm wondering about. Do we need to build some discretion in to allow us to still be able to group common issues? Sometimes common respondents. Sometimes a respondent is at the subject of multiple maybe multiple complaints or enforcement actions, and occasionally there's also some wisdom in handling groups of matters that involve the same respondent as well. And also occasionally we have to, there are matters that as one of the realities of being at the commission is that we are constantly being sued for either being too aggressive or not being aggressive enough. And occasionally litigation that is ongoing could potentially have a significant impact on our decision making with respect to enforcement matters. And occasionally there may be there may be wisdom in waiting for a case to be resolved before moving forward. Under what circumstances we would want to invoke that, I think that we need to think about that. But that's just something that's coming to mind. And also, you mentioned the internal deadlines we have for our Office of General Counsel. Would we want to actually formalize those? If we were to go forward with the directive, would we want to formalize those as part of the directive as well, to make sure that if we're jumping off a cliff, we'd all be jumping off the cliff together? So those are some of the questions that I just have in mind initially. But I certainly want to continue our discussions to see, because I think that what your animating principle here is a sound one, and is one that that I need to reinforce in my own decision making, so that we can get more of these matters through in a much more timely and efficient manner. And so I look forward to continuing this discussion and to see where it may lead.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate the discussions that we've had so far on this. And I hope we can come to some resolution on this. It's if this doesn't seem right, I'm make me an offer. I'm willing to entertain an offer of what you think would make more sense. But again, because I believe in deadlines, I'm going to ask the chair to put this again on the agenda next meeting. So, maybe we can give ourselves that month to try and work something out.
Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah. Listen, having recently sat on the other side of this agency and representing people who want to go out of business and terminate, and they feel like they were unfairly tagged with a complaint that didn't mention them, or excuse me, did not target them, but they were mentioned, and they end up getting noticed, and they can't go out of business, and they continue to incur administrative expense of just existing, because they have to continue to file reports, they have to continue to keep a treasurer on retainer, and all they're waiting for is 2 to 3 years for the agency to tell them, you really didn't do anything wrong, even though your name showed up in a complaint. Believe me, I appreciate the sentiment, and I think this commission can do better and should do better in moving respondents out the door. And I think in the same way that our Office of General Counsel has an office that that screens complaints at the front end to even activate some versus frivolous ones, this commission could, on one level, and I think we do this somewhat informally, find the lower hanging fruit, the ones that don't seem very controversial, and those are easier to move through quickly, and I think we do a good service to those people to try to move them through quickly without a policy. I think it's usually been policy of the chair trying to fill up agendas with those things that we can move through quickly. And we make a lot of FLA edits coming down the pike, and we get them approved. We had a very productive meeting, I think, this week to move a number of matters through like that. This policy raises, a lot of institutional issues about the authority of commissioners to hold, to take more time, to exercise discretion. Some of that discretion is already in other directives, or there are already policies in other directives that this directive doesn't speak to. For example, Directive 17 says that when a tally vote comes up, sensitive matters, and maybe Mr. Baker or Mr. Patalis can tell me under Directive 17 what the definition of a sensitive matter is. But where there's an objection to a sensitive matter, it's supposed to, already under Directive 17, be placed on the next executive session agenda. And we may observe that more in the breach than in operation. I'm not certain what was intended, because that's a fairly old directive. The other directive that this implicates and may abrogate is the right under Robert's rules of any commissioner to make a motion at the table under Directive 10 and under Robert's rules. So, for example, this says all edits have to be at the commission within 24 hours of the meeting. And what that appears to abrogate is the right to edit at the table and to propose edits at the table to an FLA. I think we need to consider Directive 10 gives you the right, and Robert's Rules gives you the right to propose amendments when a motion is made. And so we need to consider that. I think these can be worked out. And I want you to know, I agree with the sentiment. I agree with the policy objective. I just think it's going to take a lot of work, and also to preserve some commissioner discretion along the lines that Vice Chair Peterson mentioned. Under a lockstep process by which matters are automatically brought to the table and moved through quickly, there needs to be some discretion of the commission to hold matters, and this is covered in number four, hold a matter in abeyance. And I assume that that means hold a matter in abeyance for any reason. But it would require four votes of the commission to hold a matter in abeyance. But some of the circumstances Commissioner Peterson mentioned, I think, pertain. Ongoing litigation and matters involving a group that's in litigation where our treatment of another matter would affect the litigation. We've seen those types of issues come up. Like-kind issues or other matters involving the same respondent where it would make sense to hold a matter up here at the time while other matters make their way through the process and come upstairs. That would be another reason to have some discretion to delay the consideration of a matter. And then one that, having sat on the other side of the fence, people are particularly sensitive to is either the reality or perception of election intervention, of the commission taking action on the eve of an election that in some way could embarrass or affect or distract or drain resources of a respondent in September to November when it may have sat in Office of General Counsel for a year and a half from the last election, and all of a sudden it comes up here, and under this straitjacketed automated policy of timing, it has to go out the door in a way that could embarrass a candidate, and then this agency is perceived as intervening in an election in a way that could embarrass certain politicians when we could just as easily push it off to November or December of that year. And I understand there are arguments about, gee, well, maybe we want to put on the public record to hold somebody accountable before their election, but I know the Department of Justice is quite sensitive to bringing prosecutions in those circumstances, and I think we should consider those issues as well. I do have also some question about an automated policy to move things at this time and whether it has any partisan effect. And I would ask the chair how have we chosen the matters just this year for our enforcement agendas in executive sessions? Like, what's that process that we've used this year? Because I think we've been making pretty good progress.
We have been making pretty good progress on a number of matters. That is no question. And the way the matters are chosen for the agenda are essentially those items that have been held over. I have attempted to place those items on the agenda consistently so that the items that are held over are noted and when they are held over again. And I would say, you know, just as you're asking me for a factual statement, but I would say that with respect to the other items that we put on that we believe would be items where we could reach some agreement, we will definitely put those on for us to work together and attempt to negotiate those, and we have been fairly successful at that. And of course, we also put on the items that are close to the statute of limitations and therefore necessitate some action, which for the public is 5 years. I would like to sort of add, however, that the problem I think that is being addressed by this directive, which despite the fact that we have had success with some of the, you know, what I would call lower hanging fruit, mm-hmm. and we've accomplished a lot of cases this year, given our process. The concern is with matters that you identify as potentially more controversial or potentially more complex. And while that is true, I think that there's a, for one thing, it shouldn't take 5 years. I don't think it takes the Department of Justice 5 years before they bring matters to fruition, even though they are complex, controversial, and have important issues involved. So I think that the need for some kind of a policy that would address those matters is really important, and I have observed that as the chair, and it is somewhat disconcerting because, you know, I think we have an obligation, as has been mentioned, to people at the other side of the fence. We have an obligation to the public, and we're forgetting we have an obligation also to the complainants. And I believe that while it's not a typical due process obligation, I think those people have a right to have their complaints determined in a timely fashion. And I'm concerned that our experience has been that that has not occurred. So while I get all of the issues with respect to discretion that have been raised, and certainly we should be talking about those issues, it is important for us to remember what our obligations are to all of the outside groups that we are required and supposed to be fulfilling our obligations to them.
Well, let me just observe. As you all know, I am as sensitive to the due process rights of respondents and their exercise of First Amendment rights as I am to complainants. And I come at this more for the rights of respondents to get through the process quickly and efficiently and clear the air or get on with accountability if that's the case. But we do have a class of complainants that tends to target conservative and Republican groups more. So I've just looked at the enforcement agendas that we've had this year. And out of two respondents were corporate neutral, you know, not nonpartisan affiliated. But out of 46 others that have come before us on agendas, 37 are Republican or conservative groups, and 9 have been Democratic or liberal groups supporting Democrats. And that's an 80% respondent rate for Republicans and conservatives, and 20% for Democrats and liberal groups. Then I look at the queue, including matters that have been held on this agenda, some with good reasons. There are, right now, pending before the commission itself, 73 matters that have come upstairs from the Office of General Counsel and are ripe for commission consideration. 49 are Republican respondents, 16 are Democratic respondents, 8 are corporate or somewhat non-party affiliated. And if you take the breakdown of the party respondents or the partisan respondents before this commission, in the enforcement docket before the commission, the breakdown is 75% Republican or conservative groups and 25% Democratic. Now, this isn't to blame any commissioner. We take the complaints as we find them. But there would be a disparate impact of starting to open the gates and start just moving them through an automated process that removes any discretion of commissioners to take like-kind groups, for example. And one, we have some groups that have been targeted by multiple complaints by a class of complainants. And I think we ought to consider that as we consider any policy that moves matters through for disparate impact.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I have to say it would never occur to me to go through our docket and do that kind of analysis. I don't think about our cases that way. We have no control over who files the complaints and who are the respondents in those complaints. I think we have an obligation to move all the cases. I don't see how you can make a disparate impact argument if what the goal is to move all the cases. When I was chair, I scheduled every single matter before the end of the year. And I really would have liked to have addressed everything on the docket that year. It wasn't possible, you know, but I continue to look for ways to just get through the docket. I mean, are we going to I don't know what you're suggesting. Are we going to ignore some of the complaints so that we get a 50-50 ratio of who the respondents are? We have to deal with what's in front of us.
Well, we have been discussing quotas here at the commission recently. No, my point is that, and speaking for my two Republican colleagues and I, we have held a handful of matters on the current docket for such issues as taking common respondent up together or taking common issues up that involve Democratic and Republican groups at the same time. And that has been the justification for holding some matters so that we could consider them holistically. And that's why I say I'm open to finding a way to move matters. By the way, one way to move matters more quickly is just to move matters more quickly, for us to commit to each other that we will start addressing more matters more quickly. That's one way
to
do it.
That's what I'm trying to do.
I know. And I'm just saying that this automated policy removes that discretion in a way that does have certain partisan effects. And it's not the commission's fault that these came in the door this way, but there is a class of complainants that does use the agency's processes more aggressively than others. And that's one reason why some discretion has been exercised by this side of the table up till now on this enforcement agenda to take up the same respondents or to hold matters because of pending litigation involving those respondents. And so I'm just telling you that the discretion is important and has a partisan impact.
I'm speechless.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, Commissioner Walther.
It does concern me to hear the comments about the politics of political parties. This is new, MLS. Very, very new. About analyzing everything through a lens of who belongs to what party. And I'm concerned about that because it's never been part of our language before. Now, if there's a feeling that there's a political effect, that's something within our control and we need to discuss it, then my suggestion would be that any time we put a matter over, we give the reason for it. Because if the reason is because there's a concern of an overload of politics on one end, then rather than hear it now, I think we should hear it then in a matter of over, so we can see what's on people's mind, why they're doing it. Because there's been an enormous amount of holdovers in the last, I would say, year and a half on matters, and it never occurred to me that it was for political reasons. So I think disclosure to us as to what our reasons are for holding some, where would be helpful.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. Since we're talking a little bit about what's gone on in the past, you know, I didn't prepare this for today, so you'll have to help me with the exact details, but my recollection is that then when you were chair, Commissioner Weintraub, you did not calendar the Crossroads matter. And we wrote about this in one of our statements.
No, I did. I calendared everything by the end of the year.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't calendar for months, and I don't have the exact, I believe it was 6 months-ish that you refused to calendar it on the agenda, even though all three Republican commissioners at the time repeatedly requested that be put on the agenda, because we didn't think it was fair for the respondent to have this hanging over their head for years and years, and you refused to calendar it because I think you even said this publicly, you were waiting for Don McGahn to leave with hopes that Lee Goodman would vote with you. Or whoever, I don't even know if we knew Lee was coming.
I'm pretty sure I never said that publicly.
Well,
I'm not sure that I ever said that at all.
I think you did, but I can go back and double check. I'm pretty sure you did. You said there were commissioners in the queue. You never said you wanted to get rid of Don, but there were commissioners in the queue, and why don't we just wait until new commissioners are coming? I'm quite sure. And then there was also, so Crossroads was one that we tried for months and months and months to get calendared.
Then why didn't you vote on it when I put it on the calendar?
That was the very end of the year, and my recollection is that Commissioner Goodman had just arrived at the commission, so my recollection is that he wanted, there was a big file, he wanted a little bit of time to look over it, and we did calendar it early in the next year and voted it out. But by the time you scheduled it, Don was gone, which is what I think you wanted, and Commissioner Goodman was brand new. I can't remember if he held it or somebody else did, but I think there was the sense that we had new commissioners and they needed some time to review it. There was also the Rick Santorum case that took some time to get calendared in order to close that file and make it public because, again, I think people were thinking, well, maybe we'll get another vote on that one to change the outcome of that case. But just while we're, you know, walking down memory lane, I just wanted to mention that there are some cases that I'm not sure how your policy would have affected your actions in those cases.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I really regret. I tried to present this in the most neutral way that I could. I didn't point any fingers at anybody. I didn't say who was holding up which matters.
Nor did I. I wasn't pointing fingers.
I appreciate that, Commissioner Goodman. But I really regret that my colleagues have chosen to make this neutral policy into a partisan issue. Can I finish? Can I finish? When I was vice chair and you were chair, Commissioner Hunter, I don't recall you taking any suggestions from me on when to calendar items. Never. I showed a lot more consideration to my vice chairman. There were a number of matters that he wanted to move onto the agenda, and I put them on the agenda. But in any event, I made a commitment to all of you at the beginning of the year that I was going to calendar everything and try and get through the entire docket by the end of the year. And I did that. And I tried to do that, but commissioners held it up. As soon as Commissioner Goodman walked in the door, I started to work with his office. I said, look, we've got some cases here. Work with me. Tell me when you're going to be ready to. And Commissioner Goodman, you know this is true. My staff worked very closely with your staff to try and find the maximum number of things that we could get resolved that year. You know, I said, which cases are you ready for? I said, I have to put them all on the calendar this year because I made that commitment. But, you know, tell me which ones you're ready for. I'll put them on as soon as you're ready for them. I would think that if you have a sense of grievance, that you're still carrying this, you know, 2 years later, that you didn't get to tell me when to put things on the agenda, even though you didn't take any suggestions when you were the chair, you know, I would think you'd be enthusiastic about a policy that takes away that discretion and says, okay, once it hits the chair's desk, he or she has to put it on agenda within 3 months, one way or another. Then nobody gets to monkey around with anything. We've got a couple of cases that have been sitting around for 2 years. We've got cases that have been sitting for almost 3 years, and we just received a request to hold them because a new case just came in the door, and therefore this is grounds for delaying it still further. And since we don't have a policy, I guess we're going to do that. But, you know, really these cases should have been resolved 2 years ago, and they don't present any of those issues that you were suggesting. We're not waiting for litigation. They're not tied to something else except, as I said, some brand new case that just came in the door. I'm just trying to come up with a neutral policy that nobody can monkey around with. We'll all agree we're going to move the cases. One way or another, we're going to move the cases. We're not just going to do the low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit is always easier to deal with. But even on the more difficult cases, we're going to make a commitment to move those cases on a timely fashion. If you think 6 months is not enough time, tell me what you think is enough time, because there's got to be some period of time within which we can agree that, you know, yes, we're ready to make a decision, barring some extraordinary factor. I mean, like anything else around here, 4 votes can waive anything, right? So if there's some, you know, litigation pending or some other solid reason why we should wait, you know, sometimes the Justice Department asks us to hold something in abeyance because they don't want us to mess up a criminal case with overlapping individuals or entities or facts, and we generally do that. There are always extenuating circumstances. I would argue that some of the cases, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I would argue that some of the cases that are currently on the docket don't have those extenuating circumstances. But what we need is to force ourselves to make a decision. Because if we have endless time to make a decision, I can understand why anybody might say, yeah, I just want a little more time to think about this. But we gotta pull the trigger at some point.
Sure.
Commissioner Goodman.
I credit your point. We need to move faster. We do. I was making not a point about any individual commissioner. I was looking at objectively the docket and what impact it has when you remove all discretion. And I think we can work on a policy. I do. I'm willing to work with you on a policy. I share your concern that respondents need to get out the door more quickly. I think our Office of General Counsel can do a little better work to get things up here faster. And then the commission needs to act more quickly, and I think it will do good service to the public record. It'll do good service to respondents overall. However, the policy you have straitjackets the commission and limits the discretion of commissioners to such a degree that I think those are the issues we probably need to discuss. For example, what are the circumstances under which an abeyance would be appropriate under item 4 of your policy? I think we could work that out. How many commissioners does it take to invoke that abeyance? 3 or 4? Because that's an important issue, as you know. So I think that whether we do it informally and work faster, I think you've rung a bell. Can't be unrung. We need to move faster. I think Vice Chair Peterson made that point as well. I think we all agree we can do better. And I'm happy to discuss with you a policy. I think Vice Chair Peterson is interested in a policy. But whether we do it by policy or preserving some discretion or whether we just get busier, one way or the other, I think we can move through this docket, understanding that there are going to be some holds. There just are going to be some holds for real reasons, for important reasons.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I just want to say something about your comment about the staff. As I said, they hit pretty much all of their targets in the last quarter, in the most recent report. And I think, as I said, it was beneficial to them. The reason they hit the targets is because we gave them targets. We told them we expect these reports within a certain period of time, and that's when they produce them. And that's why I think those kinds of targets are valuable. But I will say that I also think if we want the staff to move more efficiently, we need to lead by example from the top. It is extremely demoralizing to the staff. There's probably nobody in enforcement, amongst our enforcement attorneys right now, that doesn't have some case sitting up here. And I think many of them have several cases that have been sitting up here for months at a minimum, sometimes longer than that. It is very demoralizing to the staff to put in all the good work to try and meet our deadlines for them, and then they send it up here, and we sit on it for months and months and months, and they've forgotten the details, and at any moment it can end up on an agenda and they're going to have to go back and relearn everything they once knew about that case so they can be prepared to answer any question that any commissioner has when it comes to the table. I think this, it's hard to persuade the staff that we care about efficient processing of cases when we're not efficient. Mm-hmm. So I think that is part of my motivation, is we need to show a good example to everyone in the building of how we think the work ought to get done. Yeah.
Vice Chair Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to, I guess, circle back around to what I initially said. You and Commissioner Weintraub and I both had a career on the Hill before we came up here, and we both recall that when was the greatest flurry of activity? Right before you had to go on a recess. And, you know, when you do have, those imposed discipline on the process. And so I appreciate the goal that we're shooting for. And I think what I'm hearing is it sounds like that there's a strong sense that we need to figure out a better way to conduct our process to ensure that that we are processing cases, we're voting them out and handling them in as expeditious form as possible. And so when discussing, and when raising some of the questions I said earlier about how do we build in discretion, you know, my goal is, and I think everyone's goal here, is how can we kind of accommodate the legitimate interests of the commission in order to, I think, exercise discretion in proper cases while also advancing the goal of maintaining better discipline in terms of getting matters disposed of. And so, like I said at the outset, I think that this has been an important issue to raise, and I think that as with the documents policy that we were talking about, the disclosure, this doesn't need to be a Republican issue, a Democratic issue, a conservative, a liberal issue. I think this is an institutional issue. And I think that that hopefully, as we move forward, we can figure out a way to make the process work better within the building, and look forward to continuing our discussions that we've already started this last week.
Commissioner Goodman, did you want to add something? Okay. All right. Well, with that, we will attempt to also on this matter bring it back at the next agenda if that if there's been sufficient time to discuss it previously.